Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Icarus for Reality with Shane Jones.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and with the start of season three, I want to make sure that I keep on rolling, bringing you guys the heavy hitters. So today is somebody that I've wanted to have on the show, honestly, since the very beginning, the legendary L.A. Marzulli. But before we get into this absolutely fantastic, groundbreaking interview, we of course have to run through the front of house stuff. So guys, if you're not already following Inquirers of Our Reality or Open Minds Media on Instagram or Facebook, make sure you give us a follow. Greatly appreciate it. And of course, we will follow you guys back. And if you guys are looking for some video content, you guys can always go and follow Open Minds Media on YouTube and TikTok, of course. And we do also drop one of the video episodes of Bizarre Inquiries at least once a month over on the YouTube. So if you guys enjoy that show on the normal feed, definitely worth going and checking out on the YouTube if you want to see the video format of it. And if anybody wants to join the conversation, you guys can become a member of the Open Minds Media Discord. Got a lot of fantastic people over there, always having interesting conversations, dropping theories, dropping documents, books, all that really cool stuff. So keep expanding the community, pop in, because we would love to have you join. And if anybody has an encounter to report, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter if it's paranormal, extraterrestrial, near-death experience, cryptid-related, any of that fascinating stuff, you guys can report those to OMMEncounterReports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, and there is a specific submission form for that. And at some point, I would like to be able to compile some of your guys' listener experiences and do a compilation episode on them. So if you guys want to send an audio recording, that'd be absolutely fantastic. If you guys want to send it as text, I can definitely read it. But on the other side of that, if you just want to have somebody to talk to about your experiences, you don't want to put on the internet anywhere, you just want to have a one-on-one conversation, that's totally something that I'd be interested in doing with you too, kind of help you work through it and possibly understand the experience. Or even if I'm somewhat close to you, maybe I can possibly even come and investigate it, which I would absolutely love to do too, of course. And if you guys aren't already checking out my other show, Bizarre Encounters, highly recommend that you do if you guys want to dive into some of Oren and my deep dives. There are some interviews in the mix, so it's kind of covering somewhat of the same topics as this show, but it's our deep dives and research, so it's a lot of fun banter on the in-between, and you guys can kind of see what we do with our spare time as far as research and everything goes. And then we also do a side show off of that that's called Bizarre Inquiries, where we essentially take in one of your guys' listener questions, and we let our minds wander off of that question. So you guys can always submit questions for that. And even if you're not a Patreon member, if you submit a great question, of course, we will hit and cover it. And we will also send you a copy of that episode so that you can still listen to it no matter what. And if you guys want to support the show, a couple different ways to do so. Number one is to go and join the Patreon over there. I actually, again, recently updated the tiers yet again. So if you are a Patreon member, go and make sure you go and check and see what your updated tier benefits are. There is also a 7-day free trial for the $3 and the $5 tier. So if you guys are interested in going and checking that out, you guys can at least check it out for 7 days, see if you guys enjoy it. With the listener tier, I did add some new benefits to that one. Same with all the tiers, but the $3 tier, you get a lot more. You get about twice as much as you were before. So I want to try to make it a little bit more user-friendly over there. And the other way you guys can support the show is through the OMM merch store. Over there, there's designs for Inquiries of Our Reality, Bizarre Encounters, Bizarre Inquiries, and a bunch of other different designs that I do that aren't necessarily podcast name related, because I know not all you guys like wearing podcast names across your chest, of course. So I definitely do have some of the UFO, paranormal, cryptid, all that fun stuff just done as their own individual designs over there. And now through the end of April, if you guys want to get 10% off, you can use code CRYPTID10 and receive 10% off of the OMM merch store. And if anybody is interested in podcast production services, you guys can shoot me a message over on Instagram or on Facebook, over on the Open Minds Media page. Whether you're somebody who just wants to start a podcast or you're somebody that already has a podcast, I can either help you get one rolling or I can help make it easier for you if you already have one rolling. So just shoot me a message and we can figure something out. I do have a full list of different things I offer, including editing, making logos, making posts, all that fun stuff. So if you guys can shoot me a message and we can definitely figure something out for you. And of course, before we hop into the show, got to give a shout out to all of the fantastic sponsors / friends that are in the community. If you guys want to pick up some fantastic Squatchy gear, you guys can go and check out I Know Squatch. Rick and Hans over there always dropping fantastic new designs. It's like every couple days there's a new design. He's killing it over there, absolutely. And if you guys want to get yourself some wearable cryptid favorites, you guys can go and check out Joe over there on Cryptotheology. He has a really cool comic book art style to a lot of the stuff that he does. So of course, I Know Squatch and Cryptotheology are very different stuff, but both very, very cool all the same. And if you guys have a beard just like me, you guys can go and check out Snarly Yao. He has a fantastic line of beard oil, beard balm, beard shampoo, and even some body soap. And it all has this fantastic smoky cedar smell with a hint of mint. I love it. I use the beard oil and the beard balm every single day. And it's honestly one of my favorite scents. So I get really excited to put this stuff on. And beyond that, of course, Dave, being one of the best people in the community, he is always throwing fantastic cryptid events that are all based around the West Virginia area. So if you guys are somewhat near that area, you guys are looking for something to do on a weekend, you guys can always go follow him on Instagram and see what events he is putting on. And they're always completely family friendly. So you guys can bring your kids. They'll have just as much fun as you are there. And on top of that, again, you just get this a mess of awesome people that all gather around Dave. So every single vendor you meet there is going to be a fantastic person, some of the nicest people in the community. So always worth going and checking out. And of course, I will be speaking at the Cryptid Halloween that he's putting on in October, of course. And I will also be emceeing that event. So if anybody wants to come and check me out there, that'll be a lot of fun. And actually, side note off of that, that I forgot to mention in the beginning, I will also be vending at Small Town Monster Fest 2, which is June 29th, 2024, in downtown Canton, Ohio, at the Doubletree by Hilton. It's going to be me, it's going to be Orin, it's going to be the family, it's going to be Jenny, it's going to be the full crew there. So if you guys want to come and hang out, make sure you guys scoop your tickets. Kids 12 and under are free, and there is a link so that you guys can scoop your tickets down in the show description. I got to make sure I remember to mention that at every single show coming up to the events, of course. And getting into the affiliate links, if you guys haven't already checked out the newest sponsor of Open Minds Media, Orgonite. He makes these fantastic spiritual energy pyramids and different other pieces. The whole idea behind them essentially is to take in negative energy and put out positive energy. And he does make different ones based on what you're trying to receive energy wise. And if you guys decide that you guys want to scoop one for yourself, one, make sure you use the affiliate link. And two, if you guys want to get 10% off your order, you guys can use code OMM. And beyond that, all my paranormal investigators out there, if you guys haven't already checked out the Chattergeist, highly recommend that you do. It is the all-in-one paranormal investigating device. I use it every single time I go out. I absolutely love it. There's always new updates for it, a lot of cool stuff that Barry's putting on for it over there in Dimension Devices. So definitely recommend picking one up for yourself. And if you guys have any technical questions about that whatsoever, you guys can hit a Barry over there on Dimension Devices. He is the guy that programmed and developed it, so he'll be able to answer any of your guys' technical questions. But again, make sure you guys use our affiliate link if you guys are going to scoop one for yourself. And every single thing that I mentioned, including those affiliate links, are all available down off the link tree in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, filmmaker and author, L.A. Marzulli. How's it going today?
Going good, Shane. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I've been following your work for actually a long time now. You're one of the first ones that I was really starting to dive into as far as when I started getting into all these like Fortean topics, and especially like the Giant of Kandahar was one that I know that you were the one that pretty much brought that story to light, and I ended up doing an episode on that on my other show not too long ago. So you're, you know, one of the heavy hitters as far as the community goes. So thanks for making the time to come on the show.
Well, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
So for anybody that may not be familiar with your work besides possibly the Giant of Kandahar, why don't you let everybody know a little bit about your background and a little bit about what you do?
I've authored 13 and a half books. The reason why I say half is because I'm number 14 is about halfway finished. Hope to have that up in the next couple of months. I've produced, directed, co-directed, and hosted all 30 shows, films in our stable. So lamarzulli.net, or you can stream them by going to streaming.lamarzulli.net. We've just finished up number 9 and 10 in our ongoing UFO series. Number 7 and 8, which I hope to talk about today, is on Roswell, exoneration, and, of course, in the debris field. Lots of information. This goes back to the beginning of the deliberate obfuscation by the powers that be in 1947. So, I mean, there's a body of work. I'm 73 years old. I'll be 74 this December. So I've been around for a while. I've seen a lot. And we are in unprecedented times, Shane. Absolutely unprecedented.
Just to say the least, with a little bit of everything kind of getting trickled everywhere, some of these ideas, concepts really starting to get brought to the light, whether it's by the government themselves, through all these like false narrative type operations that they're trying to do, and through just the podcast, the research community really starting to dive into different perspectives of things. Yeah, times are getting wild. And I guess a good spot to start possibly would be, I would definitely want to dive into your newer films. But as far as like what started that film series leading up to the point that it's currently at, from anybody that may not be familiar, why don't you kind of lead them up to your newer ones, then we can kind of dissect and talk about the newer ones.
Well, my former business partner, Richard Shaw, who passed away several years ago now, we created 11 films together. And that was called the Watchers series. And we broke ground. I mean, we broke stories that are just now breaking. The Giant of Kandahar, that's our story. We broke it. We talked of a shooter. Robert Salas, who was the commander of the Malmstrom Air Force Base, and there was a 60-foot-wide UFO right over the gate that shut off all 10 intercontinental ballistic missiles. We broke that story. Dame Isabel Piksek, the Right Honorable Barry Schwartz, that's the Shroud of Turin. You know, we covered all that. Black-Eyed Kids, we covered that. I mean, I'm just, you know, near-death experiences. The Watchers series is amazing. And you can go to lamarzulli.net or you can stream them all because they're all on our streaming site. So, you know, people your age don't buy DVDs anymore. They stream. Streaming.lamarzulli.net. There are 30 films there. From there, Rick and I parted ways somewhat amicably. We had a little bit of tension there. But we reconciled, and I think if Rick was still alive, we'd be doing things together. But I did two films on Fatima, and I went to Portugal, and we spent like 2 weeks there interviewing some amazing people, researchers. And, you know, Fatima happened in 1917. It was a big deal. It still is a big deal. It's big business. The sanctuary can hold upwards of 1 million people, to give you an idea of what it's like. The question is, and this is what we delve into. We call it Harbinger of Deception and Strange Phenomena, the second film. So why is it a harbinger of deception? Because our research showed, and I think we have a smoking gun, we're the only people ever to publish the photograph by Joshua Benoliel, who stood in the field in 1917, October 13th, 1917. Joshua Benoliel, professional photographer. He was the King of Portugal's photographer before the monarchy was removed and it became a republic. So Joshua Benoliel was out in the field on October 13th. I think he takes 12 photographs. One of them clearly shows just like this. It was like a disc. It was like a disc-shaped object, about like that. Just about like that. It's almost exactly what the photo looks like, except I'm not in it. You see people down here. And we've had that photograph analyzed by Jose Machado is a professor of semiotics. It's not a scratch. It's not a chemical burn. It's a disc-shaped object. And what's interesting is the people in the field who looked up and saw this said, I looked up and saw what? A dull silver disc. That's what they said they saw, a dull silver disc. So you have to ask yourself, you know, what is this? That's why we call it harbingers of deception. It came out of the cloud and materialized. And this is incredible because we call the first film Harbinger of Deception. It was not the sun that fell to the earth. It was something else. And the problem being is in 1917, there's no verbiage in the vernacular that says UFO, UAP. Shane, if we were in the field, if we could go back in time, you and I would look up and go, UFO, that's exactly what we would say. Strange Phenomena, which is the second film in that two-part series, car windshields exploded when this thing flew by. Cars spontaneously combusted. People had radiation burns on them. And does that sound like a wonderful, warm, fuzzy event? No, it's not.
Definitely not.
The bad guys. And this is why we call it Harbingers of Deception. The film is a deep dive. It's the only films like it that I'm aware of that really gets into what happened at Fatima. Because we have the one version that the Catholic Church has promulgated since 1917. But then you've got the handwritten notes by Father Fierro. And this is what all the researchers draw from. The handwritten notes, the handwritten diary, the handwritten testimony. Father Fierro was the parish priest. So as people are seeing this thing and experiencing it, they're coming to him and he's writing down their stories. That's how we know. I looked up and saw a dull silver disc. What's a dull silver disc? You tell me. It's not the sun. Not if it's dull and silver and spinning. It's not the sun at all. So it's a deep dive. From there, I started the On the Trail of a Nephilim series. There are now 8 films, and we'll probably have another 4 out, not this year, but maybe 2. And the byline for that is there is a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world, and that's why I'm on the trail of a Nephilim. But Nephilim are the progeny of fallen angels and the human women of Earth. It's an illicit arrangement, very illicit. And they create a hybrid entity, a hybrid being known as the Nephilim. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they took wives, that's plural, from whoever they chose. And these were the great men of renown. This is in our Bibles. I mean, it's I'm not making this stuff up. And the question is, if that was true, if there's a diaspora when Joshua and Caleb go into the promised land and begin to destroy those Nephilim tribes. They're soulless. They're in a fixed state. They were never supposed to be here. You've got the dragon manipulating the seed, creating hybrid beings. And this is, I mean, people have no idea the depth, how far this thing goes. People have no idea. It is deep. They were here in the Americas. No doubt about that. Absolutely no doubt about it. They were here in the Americas. I'm not making this stuff up. There's 8 films there. The last film was Out of Place Artifacts, where we talk about out of place artifacts like the Vatican Obelisk. That's 86 feet tall and 300 tons, and it comes from Heliopolis. It's made out of pink granite. And what's it doing there? And how did they carve this thing? Because the obelisk goes up like this. So, in fact, if you look at where it is right here, this is whoa, careful. This is sort of what it looks like. It is an obelisk. So you can see that for every inch that you go up, the radius is changing. It's pink granite. How do you cut pink granite in the Neolithic with a copper chisel? Just show me. Just show me how you do it. And how the heck do you quarry this thing when it's like this in the ground? Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, you know, and it's 300 tons. How do you move it? The Romans moved it, but that's Rome. That's thousands of years after the fact. So, you know, there is this hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world. And when Pope Sixtus VI moved the obelisk. It took 900 men and 300 horses about 6 months to move it a couple of hundred yards. Oof. Huge scaffoldings, ropes, cranes, all this stuff. What you're looking at, Shane, is Nephilim architecture, fallen angel technology. And that technology is not on planet anymore. It's when they left, they took it with them. When you go to places on the Trail of the Nephilim, when you go to places like Sacsayhuaman down in Peru, huge megalithic, I believe it's pre-flood. The stones are 30, 50, 100 tons. How was that done? And the joints are so perfectly constructed together. I'll show you what it looks like. Perfectly constructed together that, you know, you look at it and you just kind of say to yourself, well, you know, how did that happen? How did they create this unbelievable wall? You know, I mean, how was it done? And give you an idea here. Why is it I can never find what I'm looking for?
That's the problem. That's just always how everything works out, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So when you look at things like, when you look at masonry like this, and I want to see Irene here, that gives you a perspective. See that?
They almost look like they're like melted together to some extent.
A lot of people posit that may be exactly how it was done. We just don't know. The technology that created that is no longer on this planet. And when you hear the docents blab, oh, the Inca were master stone builders. If I were a millionaire, and I'm not, but I would create the L.A. Marzulli, you know, stonemason challenge. We'll bring the stones to you. Show us how you join them. Show us how you make this work. They can't do it with copper chisels. This is andesite stone. It's 7 on a Mohs hardness, 10 being a diamond. So, you know, all these people jump up and down and, you know, call us names and everything else because we don't have degrees. I'm not a degreed archaeologist. Thank God, because I wasn't conditioned into the prevailing paradigm. I can actually think for myself. I can look at that wall and say, the Inca had nothing to do with this. Absolutely nothing. You can't cut andesite stone with a copper chisel. We actually show this in one of the films. We have a stonemason who's got a block of andesite stone, a brand new copper chisel. Bam, 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 bam. He turns the chisel over. The point is completely dulled, and the andesite stone shows nothing, not even a dent. So if you can't do it, then you can't do it. If you can't cut andesite stone, then somebody else built Sacsayhuaman. Somebody else built the Octagon Mound here in the United States, specifically in Ohio. The Shawnee had nothing to do with the Octagon Mound. The Shawnee did not know advanced geometry. And in our upcoming film, we sit down with a mathematician at a collegiate level. And we ask her, draw this octagon. And she goes, on a piece of paper, 8.5 by 11, she's got a ruler. She's got a protractor, right? Mm-hmm. And this is complex. It's complex geometry. The Octagon Mound in Ohio. This is another out-of-place artifact. This is why we're on the Trail of the Nephilim. It is based on, first of all, an 18.5-year Metonic cycle. That's the moon. The moon has a cycle that goes 18.5 years. Shawnee didn't know that. No American Indian tribe, to the best of my knowledge, knew about the Metonic cycle. Most Europeans, a couple thousand years ago, didn't know about it. the 18.5-year cycle. This is advanced geometry in the octagon mound. But the octagon mound encompasses 50 acres of land. How is it possible? How is it possible? And get this. The octagon goes into a circle. There's a gateway. And at the circle mound, there's a platform. And you would sit there on top of the platform, and I'll get the prop out again, and every 18.5 years, the moon comes down and sits in the gate like that. Just sits there in the gate. That happens in 2025 next year. I will be there with my drones.
That's one of those things that with a lot of those, a lot of the ancient monuments, that there's one layers of things where you'd have this like perfectly constructed layer. And then as it starts going up, it starts getting less and less meticulous. And then on top of that, it seems like there's a significant amount of these ancient structures that seem to line up with lunar cycles and different cycles altogether, as far as like where the sky placement goes. Like I know a lot of like a lot of the Roman stuff had that in there, but assumably that may have been something learned from somewhere else, and they just took advantage of having that knowledge.
Well, that's exactly what we believe. We think that, you know, there's a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world, and we say this, you know, all the time. That's sort of the byline here. Let me show you one of the a perfect example of what I call Inca slop, because that's really what it is. I'll get to it here in a second, maybe. If you look, it's a little hard to see. Let me see if I can find a better picture. Sacsayhuaman. It's unbelievable. Oh, the places we've been. Unbelievable.
All over the world. It seems like you guys have probably been in almost every continent, right, at this point?
No, not really. Not the East at all. I haven't been to China or Japan or, you know, nothing like that. So, never fails. And I remember, and I'm thumbing through it. But the bottom line is, there's, we show this where we call it Inca slop. So, you know, there are these walls that are built, and on top of that, you know, you can see the Inca stones. And so you've got this really pristine andesite stone taken from a quarry 40, 45 miles away. And on top of that, head-sized boulders with mortar. So the original construction is far superior in every way to what I call Inca slop, because that's what it is, compared to the original construction. Native Americans did not know geometry. And if they did, show us. You know, I'm so sick and tired of, and Fritz Zimmerman will back me up on this, we say a statement like that, we're immediately labeled racists, you know, or pseudo-archaeologists. So it's always ad hominem attack. It's never, well, why don't we look at the evidence here? If the Shawnee built the octagon mound, then they had to know geometry. And if they knew geometry, that would have been passed down in the oral tradition. They would have been able to show and demonstrate on deer hide, buffalo hide, whatever, the principles of geometry. It's not there. It's not there. And if it's not there, then, you know, who's making this up and for what reason?
I mean, there's not endless only stories about the sky people coming and talking to the natives, which would perfectly explain where a lot of this stuff comes from.
That's exactly where it comes from.
Yep.
It comes from the sky gods. And they know that. But I had a gentleman come on the record on my YouTube channel recently. And it was very interesting because, you know, he talked about the giants and the oral tradition. And, you know, he's a Christian guy. And it was a very interesting interview with him, because not most of the time these guys won't come forward. I'm a white guy, and I get that. But I came over, my family came over here in 1898 after all the nonsense happened. We had nothing to do with anything. In fact, we were discriminated against because we were Italian, all right? But he was very open and talked about the giants that were over here. I mean, I discovered the picture out on Catalina Island. I'll show it to you. On the Trail of the Nephilim. So, I mean, here's the deal, Shane, you know, 13 books, 30 films. We have a little less than an hour. You know, I mean, all I can do is whet people's appetite. That's the original picture I discovered. That's Ralph Glidden standing in a recently excavated tomb, circa 1919. That is a 9-foot giant. Right there. Catalina Island. Right off. I see it when I go down my canyon. I look at Catalina Island. I mean, it's unbelievable. They were here.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They were here.
I have another buddy who's a researcher. He goes by Giants of Ancient America, and he finds like endless articles of these things, digging through old newspapers, archive websites, and then it just has like one point where everything just stops and blocks off, and then you don't hear any more articles or see any more pictures of these things. But before that, it was like almost constant that it seemed like it was, he could pull a new article every day of the week and still be finding new stuff a couple of years later.
Yeah, the powers that be put the kibosh on it. And that goes into the Smithsonian and this guy called, I can't pronounce his name, it's like Hydrickla. And he was the one that said, nope, nothing to see here. And they come in, they confiscate all the evidence, and it's gone. There was recently and this is how the game is played. There was this person who called, contacted us. There was a mummy. She saw the mummy. The mummy was 9 feet tall. It was in a museum on one of the islands near Aruba. And I told her, I said, you can't say anything about this. They will come and they will confiscate it. And she didn't listen. And she went on a couple of talk shows. Guess what happened?
Disappeared.
They came and took the mummy out. See ya.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to block off that, the 9-foot sarcophagus and that giant doorway that leads into that. Cause that's even more solid proof. What other reason would there be to be build a 9-foot sarcophagus?
Well, this is the deal. You know, the powers that be hide all this from the peoples of the world for two reasons. One, it shows the veracity and the validity of the biblical prophetic narrative. And it goes right back into the supernatural. There is a supernatural world. I'm a frank supernaturalist. The supernatural is all around us, all around us. And if we could see what was going on, we'd flip out. Okay. But because the scientific community and the academic community are completely devoid of anything supernatural. In other words, if you're an archaeologist and you're a Christian that believes in Jesus and you don't believe in the evolutionary model, good luck with that. Trying to get tenure anywhere or just a job as an archaeologist. You know, you have to shelve all that because everything runs on Darwinism. The entire planet doesn't run on Duncan. It runs on Darwin. That's what it runs on. And the Darwinian paradigm is sacrosanct in the academic community and the scientific community. This is why when we did the testing on the elongated skulls in Peru, right, the DNA evidence that we did, it's all contaminated. That's a straw man argument. How do you know it's all contaminated? Were you there? Did you see our protocols? Did you see how stringent they were? Did you see that we had lab suits and we changed them? Every single skull that was brought into that room, we changed out of the lab suits in another room, blew each other off with compressed air, then came in, tagged and bagged everything, took fresh material from the base of a skull. I mean, seriously? You really want to go toe-to-toe with this? You want to sit down with me instead of calling me a pseudo-archaeologist or scoffing at us and telling us that, you know, we don't know what we're doing? The protocols were stringent. The protocols came from the Paleo DNA lab up in Canada. And we adhered to those things like you wouldn't believe. Out of the 56 samples that we took, 56 samples, 28 of them sequenced. Out of the 28 samples that sequenced, a preponderance of the samples showed a Middle Eastern origin haplogroup coming from the mitochondrial DNA, the female side of the equation. That rewrites history. But they don't like that. Because in their paradigm, oh, no, everybody came over the land bridge at the end of the last ice age. That's the paradigm. So any evidence that would contradict that, oh, it's contaminated. Oh, it's this. Well, why don't you guys go down and you do your own DNA evidence and then publish it and then, you know, make it peer review so other people can look at it. No one does that. We're the only team until the Gaia team went down. We were the only team on the planet ever to do DNA testing on these elongated skulls. And the head archaeologist at one of the museums wouldn't even speak to me when I went down there to talk to him and talk to the head cheese at the museum, one of the museums. He just said, it's all contaminated. It's all contaminated. You know why? Because they don't like the results. Because these people did not originate in Peru. This is not the result of cranial deformation. It is something else. It's genetic. And our film, there I go again, in our film, which is on DNA, it's number 6 in the On the Trail of a Nephilim series, okay? We show surgeons, medical doctors, chiropractors, archaeologists, anthropologists, chiropractors, I think I already said that. All of them come in the very beginning of the film. This, what we're looking at, is genetic. It's genetic. It's genetic. It's genetic. We hear this from every single person who's examined these. The morphological differences in these skulls are completely different than a normal human being. And our anthropologist on our team, Rick Woodward, found the smoking gun. This is the foramen magnum right here. That's the foramen magnum right there. If it's any further to the back of the skull, it's outside the skull. It should be here. Right there, dead center of the skull. That's where it should be. It's not. It's all here. You cannot move the foramen magnum through cradle headboarding, where you wrap the head of an infant with the boards. You can shape it, but you can't move the foramen magnum. We've got medical doctors and surgeons and all these different people who know, and they're saying that the morphological structure is completely different than a human being. So it's, you know, it's, I just love the ad hominem attacks when people, so how did that foramen magnum get in the back? You tell me. It's a genetic aberration. And this is how we can tell the real ones. Because the real ones, the foramen magnum is all the way to the back, all the way to the back. And you can't do that. You can't, you know, you can shape the skull through cranial deformation. Look at the size of the eyes, 25% larger than a human being's. The pupillary distance much closer than a normal human being. They probably had night vision. They could see in the dark. And on it goes. There's no sagittal. These are the sutures. You can see right here, the sutures. There should be a suture going back over the top of the skull, you know, moving the parietal plates, separating the parietal plates, not there. And we see this over and over and over again in the Paraca skulls. So, you know, we're like I said, until Gaia TV, we were the only team that in the history of the world to go down and do a deep dive on the Paraca skulls. And it cost us tens of thousands of dollars to do that. And I want to thank our donors. They probably won't watch this show, but my hat is off to them because they believed in what we were doing and they financed the whole thing. And when I say this thing costs tens of thousands of dollars, that's what it costs. To bring a team down, all the lab work, I mean, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But we did it. And the results are in the DVD. I think it's number 6, the full report on the Paraca skull's DNA.
Yeah, people still try to deny all this stuff. And I know that people tend to call some of the most groundbreaking scientists / archaeologists, researchers, pseudo-archaeologists or pseudo-researchers. And it's just because they are the ones that are willing to bust the paradigm and actually do the groundbreaking research instead of just trying to stay within the confines of what history, quote, should be as it's written. Because, right. I mean, you have a groundbreaking discovery, and assumably to any other normal person, you know, you think that it would be totally okay to present it and actually have history change, because that's how we evolve as a species and actually learn about our past. But it's just
an agenda.
Yep, people trying to keep their names in the books, too.
Agenda. Absolutely. To keep the truth. You know, isn't it interesting? To give you a cogent example, Israel is about to go to war with Iran. I go to Fox News every day just to see what they're not reporting. Not a word. Not a peep about what's going on over there. Nothing. But we know everything about King Charles and Kate Middleton and, you know, the latest lewd picture from Britney Spears and, you know, who did this, what in March Madness. Meanwhile, the whole planet is spinning out of control. The Middle East is erupting. Israel faces at least a 2 or 3 front war at this particular moment in time. Not a peep. Not a peep. It's a managed agenda. It's a managed agenda. And so there were eight films in the On Betrayal of a Nephilim series. There are 10 in the UFO series, number 7 and 8 right here. Exoneration and In the Debris Field. Shane, it's real investigative journalism. We went to Montana. We interviewed Jesse Marcel Jr.'s widow, Linda Marcel, his best one of his best friends, Dr. Richard O'Connor, who's created the museum up there, and also Marcel Jr.'s daughter Denise, as well as other people that are in the film that we show. And I've come up with this saying that Jesse Marcel Sr., who was the intelligence officer of the 509th bombing group. The 509th dropped the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, thereby ending the conflict, okay? They were stationed in Roswell, New Mexico, and something crashed in the outside the city. And what's interesting, I'm going to read to you this. This is the original paper. It's a replica, but this is the headlines.
RAAF captures flying saucer on ranch in Roswell region.
That's the truth. And then when you read here, Mr. and Mrs. Dan Wilmot apparently were the only persons in Roswell who have seen what they thought was a flying disc. They were sitting on their porch at 105 South Penn last Wednesday night at about 10 minutes before 10 o'clock when a large glowing object zoomed out of the sky from the southwest, going in a northwesterly direction at a high rate of speed. Stop right there. Weather balloons don't come in at a high rate of speed.
Definitely not.
Let's continue. Wilmot called Mrs. Wilmot's attention to it, and both ran down into the yard to watch. It was perhaps the sight lasted less than a minute, perhaps 40 to 50 seconds. Wilmot said that it appeared to him about 1,500 feet high and going fast. He estimated between 400 and 500 miles an hour. So, I mean, that's the original, that's what crashed. And we, the whole point of exoneration, Jesse Marcel Sr. was the 509th intelligence officer. He knew everything that was out there. The Russians, what the Nazis had, what the Russians had, what the Chi-Coms had. He knew all this. He was the intelligence officer. To think that he would go out to what's now known as the debris field and mistake a weather balloon for something else that's otherworldly, then we've got, and we show this in the film, we've got deathbed confessions, we've got affidavits that were sealed until the time of the people's death, all these guys coming out saying on the record that it was a crash disc from another world, bodies were recovered, I saw the disc, I saw the bodies, I tried to keep, I mean, all this, we have a, this is why it's real investigative journalism. You know, there's a physicality, there's a one researcher out there, God bless him, I wish him well, but he doesn't believe in the physicality of UFOs. And there's other guys that believe that too. Oh, it's a weather balloon. Nothing really crashed. Well, then, look, our second film, how do you explain this? See that right there?
Mm-hmm.
Right here? That's the metal that we found. Right there. That's the metal that we found in the debris field. We show this in the film. It's all on film. And we're the only film company in probably 12 to 15 years that has actually captured metal coming out of the ground in the debris field. It was buried 6 to 8 inches deep. It had been buried there a long time. When we were out filming there, all the batteries in our camera drained just like that. Just bam, just drained. Well, so we had to go back and put new batteries in.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
So we're out there, Frank Kimber, Chuck Sikowski, my business partner, Gil Zimmerman, our good friend, second camera, Jim Peterson, he's also a sound guy. And we're Frank's got the metal detector on. He goes, guys, I got a hit. We go over, it's all on film. We take the metal out and we find it. And then he goes like this and then he holds it in his palm of his hand. That's the picture I just showed you. That metal's been tested. Frank took the metal and tested it. It's an aluminum alloy from the 7000 series. The problem with this is the aluminum alloy 7000 series wasn't invented until 1953. So what's that doing out there buried 8 inches in the ground? And the metallurgist who examined this said, whatever this came from, it shows something very traumatic happened to it, and it was exposed to a very high temperature. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not making this. This is real investigative. I'll be on Coast to Coast here in a couple of weeks talking about it. So, you know, if you want to see these films, lamarzulli.net if you want the DVDs, or streaming.lamarzulli.net. Jesse Marcel Sr. was the Lee Harvey Oswald of ufology. Absolutely, absolutely the Lee Harvey Oswald. He was a patsy. He was set up. And there's a clip that we show in the film where Marcel Sr. is looking right at the camera and he goes, you know, I was trotted out. There was a weather balloon there. But General Ramey, who was the head guy, saying it's a weather balloon, we both knew differently. Dr. Walter Haught, deathbed confession. It's an affidavit. States on the record that they were all sitting around a table before the press conference, handling the material. Was unlike anything they'd ever seen. I mean, we've got witness after witness, deathbed confessions, affidavits. I mean, it's real investigative journalism. And the problem, what we're looking at is with, you know, Commander David Fravor in 2017 comes out on the record and states that, you know, whatever this craft, the tic-tac-shaped object, was from another world. So they're rolling this thing out, and that's why we have 10 films in the series. The last 9 and 10 are, what is the truth? What is the truth? What are we looking at? Are they extraterrestrials from Epsilon Eridani or some far-off galaxy? No, they're not. They're interdimensional entities who have a very nefarious agenda. And that's what we explore in these films. There's 10 films. The first one is just on UFOs, testimonies. The second, I sit down with two world-class ufologists, Francisco Carrera, head of Exopolitics Portugal, and Preston Dennett, who's written numerous books and has been into ufology for decades. We're like clones of each other in some ways, okay? Although he's on the other side of the aisle. He believes that they're friendly, they're space brothers. I don't. I believe that these entities have a very nefarious agenda. Number three in the series gets into eyewitness testimonies, close encounters of the first, second, and third kind. Third kind is when the craft is really close and you're looking at beings. Fourth kind is when you have contact. Number four is on abductions. We sit down with two women and two men, four people who have been taken, three of them from a very early age. One of them was implanted. We actually took out that implant in our Watchers series. Who's done that? We are the only Christian team on the planet to ever take out an implant and then went to SEAL Lab and cut that implant open and showed what it was like under a scanning electron microscope. I mean, this is the deal. I mean, I'm bouncing all around. We could spend an hour just talking about the implant, how that came about, how Howie Meal was taken from the time he was 5 years old, you know, into his adulthood. And finally, at 45 years old, by a series of events, came to us and we removed the implant. We are the only Christian team on the planet to have ever done so. So when someone comes up to me and tells me there's no physicality, well, then you talk to Karen, who was abducted from the time she was 5. You talk to Emil, who was implanted. Talk to Angela, who was flown out the window. Talk to Karen, who was flown out the window. Talk to Emil, who was flown out the window. No physicality. You know, how did that implant get in his knee? There's no entry wound, Shane. There's no entry wound. I mean, this stuff is a deep dive. That's number four. Number five is on crop circles. And we're over in England at the Crop Circle Museum. We're interviewing Hugh Newman. I mean, you can't get any more in-depth than what that is. But the kicker is we show a crop circle in Ohio that was created about a month before the first Nephilim conference, where you had Christian researchers and authors, biblically based, giving a completely different narrative than what the ongoing narrative is about the mounds, like we talked about, the Octagon Mound, the Great Circle Mound. We were there saying, no, this is not Native Americans. These are the vestiges of the Nephilim. that's who it was. And our hats are tipped to Fritz Zimmerman, who wrote the groundbreaking book, Fallen Angels in the Ohio Valley, The Nephilim Chronicles. That's the book that changed my life, absolutely changed my life. And Fritz and I went to America Stonehenge on a trail of a Nephilim. We created two films there. So number six is on cattle mutilations, which is the darkest film I've ever done. And we go to a rancher who's lost 16 head of cattle. I mean, this is like, it's in-depth. It's just not guys reading a book in the library. We are out in the field talking to people, doing real research, like taking implants out. And then number seven and eight are the Roswell films, which I sort of told you a little bit about. And we're down to a 10. I got to leave it at 4:55. So we've got about 10 minutes left.
Okay. So I just had to sit back for a while and just listen because you had so much information to drop. I didn't want to interrupt you because you're on a roll. But before we actually start completely wrapping stuff up, there was something that I had heard you mention on a previous show that was a theory that I threw a long time ago, back when I was on a round table, except you kind of dug into it a lot more when it comes to why they might be taking cattle and what they might actually be using them for. And I found it fascinating that two people who weren't aware of each other's research or information on it both came to somewhat of the same conclusion, again, with you diving a lot more into it and having a lot more of explanation to it.
Who was the other person and what did they say?
I was the one that was talking about it, and it was you and I, actually. I was mentioning the fact that I was believing that they were when they were taking cattle and they were taking the wombs so that they could use those as synthetic wombs for hybrid beings. And then I know that you dug into it a lot more and had a lot more information on it, and I just kind of threw like a vague idea about it. But again, we kind of came to the same conclusion on that one, so I found that absolutely fascinating.
What people don't understand, the blood from cows can be used in human transfusions. It's medically approved by the AMA. So bovine blood, cow blood, can be used in a human transfusion. The ongoing mutilation of the cattle, where they take udders, eyeballs, they'll excise the tongue from the base of the throat. It's very grisly, very disgusting. They are creating artificial wombs with the genetic material. There's no doubt in my mind. Because this goes back to number four, when you abduct a person and impregnate that woman, when you abduct a female and impregnate her, in the third month of her pregnancy, she is reabducted. That hybrid entity is taken out of her womb. It needs some place to go to come to maturity. That's what the artificial wombs are made of.
That was kind of what I was theorizing, was the whole idea too, that assumably, because the gray is the standard idea of what these things look like, they generally have the bigger heads, they have the elongated heads. So assumably, if a human woman gave birth to these things when they were at their full growth where they needed to be removed, then it would more than likely probably kill the female. So assumably, that's why they started creating and using these synthetic wombs, because they can essentially just cut it open and get it out. And then if they have good genetics from whoever the woman was, they can keep recycling and keep reusing her without having to worry about her passing.
Karen, who's the abductee in our number four film on abductions, she was impregnated three times by them.
Wilkinson? Karen Wilkinson?
Yeah, Karen Wilkinson.
I'm actually supposed to have her on in a couple weeks, so that's perfect that you mentioned her.
Stolen Seed, Evil Harvest. We are honored to publish her book, Stolen Seed, Evil Harvest.
Say, and another one that not necessarily connecting fully with all of this stuff, but Vicky Joy Anderson, she's been on a few times. I know she works with you and does a lot of research too. So just to kind of compile an idea that you have a lot of absolutely fascinating, groundbreaking researchers all surrounding you and all of your work. So
we published Vicky Joy's book. You know, they only come out at night, and she's working on number two. So we're a small little publishing company. We're looking for broader distribution. You know, a lot of people in the Christian community don't really like what we do. They're afraid of it. When I go to speak at conferences, if it's just me speaking, then it's Nephilim 101, usually on a Friday night. It takes about two and a half hours to get through that presentation. And it all starts in Genesis 3:15. That's where it starts. And then I build from there. Because if you just come in like this and start talking about cattle mutilations and abductions, and I mean, people, there's no reference for it, people freak. And who can blame them?
Yeah, especially considering that, I mean, for a lot of what it seems like, a lot of people that are starting to get into biblical views now, it's almost through an introduction to these things, because all of this stuff actually starts to make sense. But you know, when you don't have any of these ideas already that are somewhat in your head, wondering about extraterrestrials, where all these things potentially come from, then again, yeah, you're just kind of throwing information at them and they have no idea what to do with it.
there's nothing in their grid system which prepares them. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I was raised up in the occult from 13 to 30. I was with a New Age. I was a New Ager completely, believed in Eastern mysticism, believed in reincarnation. I was completely just given over to it. I was in an ashram for 3 years. My third eye was open. I had spirit guides. I mean, all this. I went the whole gamut. And then at 30, I became a born-again spiritual Christian. And the Lord began to rewire. 10 years from 30 to 40, I was a worship leader at several different churches and became immersed in all things biblical, was raised up by a great church in Thousand Oaks, Calvary Chapel. And from 40 to 50, the Lord began to, I was still a worship leader, but began to change things. So, you know, when I'm 50 years old, it's like the year 2000, because I was born in 1950. But in 1998, I was contacted by Zondervan, and that was my first publishing deal. And that's where the Nephilim, that book, that novels, the trilogy was written. And then I switched over to nonfiction, and that's where the Lord just exploded everything. And here we are. So it's, you know, it's, there's no other ministry that I'm aware of that has 10 films on the UFO phenomenon, has books, 13 and a half books on UFOs, on the Nephilim, on prophecy, on where we are. I mean, this is it. So in some ways, we're the tip of the spear here. And I say that with all humility, because it's the Lord's ministry. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know I'd be doing this, you know, 44 years ago when I came across and became a Christian. This was not even remotely in, you know, there was nothing in my grid system to prepare me for this, although I had been in the New Age, which prepared me for this on some level.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back, so let's hop right in.
But it's, you know, it's funny how we're born here and we grow up and we have aspirations. I mean, I'm a professional musician. I just released I think probably the most amazing song I've ever written. It's called Take Another Look Around You. And, you know, we've had some hits on it. You know, maybe 20, 30,000 people looked at it, and people cry when they hear it and all this stuff. But that's all I ever wanted to be. But the Lord had other plans. I didn't even know I could speak publicly. I would, if you go back 40 years and me speak on a podcast like this, I'd be a nervous wreck. But now it's like, This is what he created me for, but I didn't know it. And that's my point. It's like, as we go through life, we think we know who we are, and maybe some people are lucky enough that they do, but when we walk with the Lord, when we walk with Jesus, and he will lead us into what he wants us to do, which is why it's his ministry. It's not mine. Right now I'm the mouthpiece for it. I get that. That could change. He doesn't need L.A. Marzulli to do this. Somebody else could do it. He's raised me up. He's trained me for it, and I'm certainly qualified. 30 films, got 13 books, got to count for something. And my hand is on the plow. I'm trying to walk where I should walk, you know, and I give him the credit all day long. But this is not for the faint of heart, and I'll end by saying this because I really got to go, that unless you're called to this, don't even think about it.
Ain't that the truth? I was going to mention that I usually do words of wisdom at the end, but with that last little bit that you were just talking about, I feel like you completely already covered the words of wisdom for people that might be on the path and just to follow the path.
Don't even think about it. unless God tells you to do it, don't even think about it.
And I know that you're extremely time-pressed at the moment, so I just want to make sure we had a quick second at the end to let everybody know where they can come and find your films, where they can come and find your books, all the other research that you do. Just let people know where they can come and find you on the internet real quick.
LAMarzulli.com, LAMarzulli.com. The other one would be streaming.LAMarzulli.com. These are the last two, or the number 7 and 8 in our UFO films. It'll blow your mind. It's real investigative journalism. LAMarzulli.com, streaming.LAMarzulli.net. But Shane, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for making the time to come on. Hopefully we get to do this again at some point. And of course, I'll make sure I include all of your links down in the show description so everybody can find it quick and easy.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify. 5 stars would be absolutely fantastic. It's been a hot minute since we've gotten any written 5-star reviews. Get a lot over on Spotify, but it'd be really cool if I can pick up some more on the iTunes side. Keep pushing up the show and the algorithm, make it so that more people are able to see the show, which means the show can continue to organically grow and expand, which brings access to a bigger community of people, brings in access to bigger guests. So the show's only going to flourish, and the only way that's going to do it is with your guys' help. So I greatly appreciate anything you guys do. Even sharing through word of mouth, more than appreciated. If you know anybody that would really enjoy this particular episode, send it to them. You guys can send it around the office. Next thing you know, all you guys will be talking about all this weird stuff around the office or around the factory, wherever you happen to work. But the only way that'll happen is, of course, if you guys share the show. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you just simply want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you possibly want me as a guest on your show for some reason, or if you want to sponsor the show, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is increaseallrealitypodcast.outlook.com, or you guys can go and get a hold of me through social media. Instagram and Facebook are the ones that I'm the most active on, or you guys can go to the link tree, and there is a specific submission form for contacting me that goes directly in my email, and I do respond to every single message that I get from you guys. So make sure you guys check your spam and junk folders. Make sure nothing gets missed, because I do send out a lot of links, so a lot of places think I'm spam, unfortunately. So yeah, just make sure you guys are keeping an eye out over there, and make sure that you guys don't think I'm ignoring you, because I do respond to every single one of you guys that messages me. And every single thing that I mentioned throughout the show is all available on the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.